Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
So if you just kind of want to start by telling your story and your experience when it comes to mold and everything you dealt with, what did that look like?
Sure. Is this a 4-hour podcast? I'll try and give the like, I don't know, 3 to 5 minute version maybe. And I'll try and get quick. I moved into a brand new custom built home in 2011. And pretty soon after that, started having like weird health issues. And I just went for years with like really bad allergies, weird health issues. I saw a bunch of different doctors. I tried a bunch of different treatments. And then finally in 2017, I was going to a new ear, nose, and throat doctor, and he recommended a nasal surgery, what's called a turbinate reduction, to reduce some of the tissues in your nose to breathe easier. And as part of that surgery, he gave a handout and it said, you know, you might be allergic to this, you might be allergic to that, you know, improve your indoor air quality or whatever. One of the things it said was that dust mites live in environments that are over 55% humidity. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. I wonder what the humidity is in my house, because it's always been kind of weird. But in this house, like, towels just don't dry. I'll take a shower, I'll hang the towel up, 24, even like 48 hours later, the towel's still damp. I was like, huh, you know, I probably have high humidity. So I buy a humidistat from Amazon. It's like $20, super cheap to buy. Turns out, you know, humidity in my house was getting up to 75, 80% humidity in the house. And so then I call an HVAC contractor, not the one who had installed it, because I kind of, my experience with him was kind of that he would deflect since he's the one who installed it. So I had somebody else come out and take a look at everything. And sure enough, the air ducts were rusty. The actual like buckets where the vents come out on the attic side, they were like rusting through. And then when he took the air vents off, especially right around where the air came out, it was just layers and layers and layers of mold that had been building up. And when he looked at it, and eventually had a mold inspector come out, and he said, oh yeah, this has been growing for years. And so this was 2017, 6 years after I'd moved into the house, had all sorts of health issues. And it sent me on a deep dive into indoor air quality to better understand not just humidity, but CO2 and ventilation and all these other things. And so I had a building scientist come out and actually kind of do an investigation of the home. And what seems to have happened is that the house was getting so little ventilation, and it was we used a foam insulation in the attic, and moisture was just getting trapped and not having anywhere to get out. And our HVAC was not able to keep up with the dehumidification itself. I went through this whole deep dive. I listened to a ton of podcasts. I did a ton of research online. I talked to multiple indoor air quality experts, and then worked with the original HVAC contractor to rip out all of the ductwork, replace the air handler, put in proper ventilation so that to bring CO2 levels down. I got an air quality monitored so I could actually monitor this over time. And then also got a whole house dehumidifier. And so over time was able to significantly improve the air quality in my home. I still to this day I'm suffering from weird health issues that I'm still trying to, you know, figure out. So it's been over a decade now, long journey. And I've since moved out of that home, and I'm pretty happy to be in a new place now where I feel a lot more confident about the air quality. And then I have multiple air quality monitors throughout the house. And then actually have multiple air filters throughout the house as well. We can talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So do you kind of want to go into a little bit more of a deep dive about the remediation process and what that looked like?
Sure. And, I've learned a lot since this was done that I probably would have done things a little differently at the time. First of all, I went into this whole thing trying not to be alarmist, burn the house down and start from scratch kind of thing. I actually didn't hire a mold remediator for the remediation. My view was that, well, if we get rid of all the ducts where the mold was growing, and replace the entire HVAC system, which the original HVAC installer who, built the system. And now it was probably a combination of the construction of the home, and it was an overpowered HVAC, which is why it was having trouble keeping up with the dehumidification because it wasn't running frequently enough. So we put in a multi-stage, I'll get to that in a sec. So I was trying to not be alarmist. And so the HVAC contractor and builder, but mostly the HVAC contractor, agreed to completely replace everything. And so he went up in the attic and literally ripped out pretty much everything he had touched in installing the entire HVAC system, every single duct. He put on brand new air vents. He put in brand new exterior compressor, interior compressor. I did pay for the dehumidifier and the ERV, the energy recovery ventilator, but he installed it for free. So we didn't actually do a true remediation as far as like trying to contain from the mold sampling that was done. The primary mold that was growing was a very common outdoor mold, something that you're just not, it, you know, wasn't the kind of, you know, black mold, some of the scarier, more potentially toxic molds. And so that's another reason I was like trying not to be alarmist and not, just rip everything out. But I will say, looking back and then talking to multiple doctors since, is that I likely developed a hypersensitivity to the mold that was in our house for years. And so even though, yes, it's a common outdoor mold, we probably should have done a more thorough professional remediation. We probably should have gotten rid of some of our upholstered furniture that had just been, had mold just dumped on it. I mean, because this was in our air vents, anytime the AC was running, it's blowing air over the mold, sending spores throughout our entire house. I mean, mold spores were just circulating everywhere. So we really probably should have gotten rid of more of our upholstered furniture. We should have done testing before and after. I should have gotten somebody in who was more knowledgeable. And it's tough in that industry. And I've talked to multiple specialists since. And you have good people and bad. I mean, it's just like, home builders, contractors, everything else. And so you kind of have mold specialists who are just there to help a realtor get a house sold. And so they're just there to get a clean report. And so they're not really doing a deep dive on what might be impacting your health. And so there's some people who, even in the industry itself, who think, a lot of the potential impacts to health and indoor air quality are kind of overblown. And then you have kind of the other end of the spectrum where it's like, pretty much, you can't hardly talk to them without ending up with a, $100,000 remediation. I honestly, to this day, I feel like I don't know the right path. When it comes to health, you want to be careful, and I've got four kids who grew up in that home, you know, many years of their life. Two of my kids were born since we moved into that home. So they were exposed to excess levels of mold since birth. And so, you know, part of me feels like I should, if I could go back in time, I would have, you know, put it on the builder and HVAC contractor to actually pay for a, you know, specialist to come and really do a very detailed, thorough job. On the flip side, I mean, you know, mold is common in the environment. If you look at, you know, local outdoor air quality monitoring, there are molds, you know, blowing through the air any given day. It's a natural part of our environment. So the problem really is the concentrations and the species of mold. And the fact that, you know, in my house, it was a more common outdoor mold that had grown. The concentrations were very high, but it wasn't a particularly like, you know, dangerous form of mold, even if I did maybe have develop a kind of hypersensitivity to it. So, you know, it's tough. I don't even know how I'd advise someone these days, because, you know, in dealing with this, you know, it's your home. We own the home. And, you know, it's where we lived. You know, some people would say, you know, you need to just immediately move out and go find a new home. But I mean, that's like a massively life-altering decision. Spending $100,000 on remediation is a massive life-altering decision. So it's just it puts you in a really tough place when you find that kind of thing, to have to make all these kind of decisions. And, you know, again, if I had to get back, I'd probably take it a little more seriously. But yeah, I don't know where that would land as far as, you know, burning the whole place down and moving away. But I eventually did move out, and I think that has actually improved my health. Just fully getting out of that environment that had kind of been saturated in mold. And one thing I did, I was very clear when we sold the home. Texas has very strict seller's disclosure laws where, and so I actually wrote pages and pages of notes on the remediation steps that we took, all the equipment we replaced, all the mold inspectors I had out, and, you know, kind of my thoughts on all of that. So we did end up selling the home and moving, and we're very careful to disclose all that to the new buyers.
So what about, I know you kind of mentioned that you're still feeling the effects, some of the effects of the symptoms from the mold to this day, but do you kind of want to discuss what initial symptoms you were finding that prompted you to do this investigation versus how they might be different, how they might be the same now?
Yeah, it's really tough to know. And, you know, I've seen quite a few different doctors over the last decade. And I lovingly refer to some of the doctors I've seen as quacks. So I joke with my wife, yeah, I'm seeing my quack next week. You know, there's a lot of scientific literature out there about the hazards of mold. I mean, there's, you know, peer-reviewed scientific studies showing both. I think a lot of it's more done in animals because, you know, getting a review board to approve a study where you're potentially, you know, damaging a human with exposure to mold is probably not something that's going to get approved. But there are animal models and other studies out there, you know, showing reduced dopamine, increased depression, like all sorts of potential negative effects of mold. But for me, there was all sorts of things. I mean, I was running my own business. You know, my brother actually passed away in the middle of all of this, and that was incredibly stressful on me. And so it's really hard to kind of untangle what symptoms could realistically be attributed to the mold and what symptoms were potentially, you know, a combination or even other things. I also, you know, was quite a bit overweight at the time. I've lost like 70 pounds since. I've made a lot of adjustments to my lifestyle over time. You know, as I was feeling bad, I just went a deep dive on sleep, on nutrition, on exercise, on, you know, all those sorts of things. And so some of the ways that my symptoms have shifted over time probably have a lot to do with kind of the steps that I've taken personally to improve things, to lose weight and all of that. So yeah, it's tough to know, you know, what directly was caused, but I mean, I certainly had really, really intense nasal allergies. I mean, where I couldn't hardly breathe through my nose at all. And still to this day, I struggle breathing through my nose. I'm still working with that same ENT and may actually do another turbinate reduction in the future. And I'm on allergy shots right now to reduce other airborne allergens. But the way I've kind of come to view it over the past 10 years is that whether or not the mold had very specific impact on my health, it at a very minimum kind of raised the stress threshold. So if your body in the outdoor air is used to dealing with mold at, you know, several parts per million, I don't know exactly what that would be. But then in an indoor environment where it's just concentrated and you're not getting the ventilation, you know, we may have had mold levels. And I wish we would have done air sampling before. We did do air sampling after. But, you know, it could have been 10, 100 times the level of mold indoors compared to what you would kind of normally be exposed to in the outdoor air. And so whether or not I had, you know, specific symptoms that could be tied very directly to the specific impacts of the mold, I do believe that it significantly increased the kind of stress, physiological stress threshold of my body. So my body was having to deal with a toxin, whether, you know, incredibly toxic, like some of the, you know, the quote black mold, or whether it was like mildly, you know, toxic because it was just that, you know, more common outdoor mold, whether it was like severe allergy where it was causing kind of mild anaphylactic kind of, you know, reactions in my body, or whether it was kind of minimally allergic, you know, the body has to deal with those stressors. And so when you layer on just this kind of base physiological stressor that every minute I'm spending in the house, I'm exposed to 10, 100 times the level of mold that would be normal to be exposed to. And then you layer, you know, having kids and running my own business and all that kind of thing. I think it raised the base threshold and contributed, at least contributed, if not kind of perpetuated all these symptoms that I did have. And I mean, it was everything from, I mean, you know, for a while there, I had severe, severe IBS, and I changed my diet and worked on that. I was gaining a ton of weight, severe nasal allergies, a lot of kind of whole body inflammation. And that's actually something in the kind of medical, kind of alt medical communities who work on with people who've been exposed to mold. There's this thing called CIRS, I think, chronic inflammatory something. And I feel like I actually experienced that for a few weeks where my body got super inflamed, where I was started to take ibuprofen every night just to sleep because I was so achy and just had this weird like whole body inflammation. I mean, again, according to what some folks say, that's kind of an acute response and then your body kind of adjusts. So I didn't have that, you know, lingering for years, but that was one of the really weird symptoms that didn't seem to have kind of another explanation at the time. But yeah, it was all kinds of things, and it was probably somewhat a cascade of, you know, gaining weight, you know, causing blood sugar issues and blood sugar issues causing inflammation and other things. So yeah, it's been a wild ride health-wise.
Yeah, I'm sure. So my final question is there any advice that you would give to somebody who is going through this, or is there something that you yourself wish you knew when you were kind of in the heat of this process?
Indoor air quality is incredibly important. And if you've never been aware, there's so many things you're probably missing. And it's just so unfortunate that, you know, as a species, we've given such little care to the environment that we spend 18, 22 hours a day. I mean, I work from home, so I'm in this home, you know, on average, probably 18 to 20 hours every single day. You know, I might take the kids to school. I might run to the groceries, but to get groceries, but I'm in this single indoor environment 24/7. And, you know, what I learned in the old house was that I not only had a problem with humidity, but because the ventilation was so poor in that house, I had a terrible problem with CO2 as well. So in that old house, it wasn't an especially large house. It was about 2000 square feet, almost 2100 square feet. But the way we had built it, we built a separate freestanding office for me to work, because I was running my business working from home, even way back in the mid 2000s. And so when I got an air monitor and put it in my office, the CO2 levels shot way up into the 2000, 2500, 3000 range, just from me sitting in that room with the door closed, because there was zero ventilation. And so on top of mold and, you know, toxic chemicals that are coming out of construction materials and common household cleaners, and like there's so a milieu of so much crap in our indoor environments these days, in addition to without ventilation, increases in CO2, with humidity issues, the potential of mold, of dust mites, of, you know, pet dander, of all these things, indoor air quality is what you're breathing. If you're, you know, eating organic food or at least like trying to eat healthy, you know, what about the air that you're breathing in? What about what your lungs are having to deal with, you know, with wildfires and other things? I think indoor air quality has kind of come to the forefront a little more than it has in the past, but it's like, there's a whole rabbit hole that you can go down to just better understand what's actually going on in your indoor environment. And if you're out there, you know, exercising and trying to eat right and trying to really take care of yourself, and you're not at least, you know, doing a cursory look at your indoor air quality, you're doing yourself and your long-term health a disservice. And then I did want to say, you know, part of the reason I agreed to be on this podcast is that, I've bought 6 or 8 different indoor air purifiers and did a deep dive on all of that as well. So, as you know, as you can probably tell, I'm a researcher and try and better understand things, and you know, improve my health and everything I do. And so, I bought an IQ Air, super expensive, overly wrought, very complicated air purifier. And guess what? It's made of plastic, and we brought it to our new house, and it sits in the garage because it still smells like the old house. So and it's going to be like $600 to replace all the filters. And I'm not even sure I'm want to, because I'm pretty sure the plastic parts have actually absorbed the smell of mold. Like it just smells, the air coming out of that thing smells bad after being in my old house. And then I also bought Air Doctor, is like another super popular one. They have, you know, hyper HEPA filter and all this stuff. And they're great filters, and I still have them because I'm, you know, they were expensive. I'm not just going to toss them out, but they actually have very tiny little carbon filters, like a carbon pre-filter. And I've gotten very sensitive to being able to smell when those carbon filters saturate. And those Air Doctors filters just saturate immediately. And they're like 20, they're like $50 a pop to replace them or something. And so, so it's just like useless to me now because it's so expensive to replace them and they saturate so quickly. And so the Austin Air filter is I've had the one that I currently have in my bedroom, I've had for almost 20 years now. And I originally bought it because a friend of mine had one and lent it to me. And I put it in my old apartment at the time. I was single at the time, 20 years ago, and was blown away by how fresh the air smelled when I came in. And so when I actually first had mold problems, this was even before the house, we had an apartment that had a leak from above that created mold in my son's closet right after he was born. And that's when I bought my first Austin Air, and he's turning 14. So, and I think I bought it used. So the unit that's still in my bedroom is almost, is at least, you know, 14 years old. And the way it's designed, being primarily metal construction, I don't get any of those smells from having been in that moldy house. And then when you replace the filter, you're replacing the entire thing. And there's just not a lot else other than this big filter that gets completely replaced. And then on top of that, I love how y'all have so much carbon in there. So when I run the Austin Air on a setting 24 hours a day, I do need to replace it every 6 to 12 months versus the like multi-year that y'all quote. But the carbon, there's so much carbon in there that it's actually scrubbing the air and like significantly improving air quality for a much longer time period. And it ends up being way more affordable because of that. And so of all the air, and I've tried, what's the one that has like this like crazy UV light that was like really popular and it's all fancy molecule. I bought one of those, had it for like a week. It was terrible. It's all hype. You know, there's nothing there. The air coming out of that had a weird smell. It did not do a very good job actually purifying the air. So I've done a deep dive on all of this, and Austin Air is by far my favorite air purifier after having gone through all of this and read up as much as I have on all of the air quality issues. It's just the best kind of combination of the practicality and affordability and being able to have that carbon filtration in a without having to spend, you know, $50 a month to be replacing the carbon filters.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.